Let us hear God's word. Reading first from the letter to the Romans. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then reading from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It was He, meaning Christ, it was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we ask now for Your presence, that You would send the Holy Spirit and bless the preaching and the hearing of Your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In an episode of Andy Griffith, Roger's favorite program, in an episode of the Andy Griffith Show, Andy and Floyd the barber, they're sitting out on the bench in front of Floyd's barbershop, and the preacher walks by, and they greet him, and as he leaves, they talk about how he's such a good man. A lot of things to admire about him. And then there's this moment of silence, and Andy says, but sometimes his sermons are as dry as dust. If we were really honest with ourselves, we would admit that there are a few things that we really dread in life. We dread losing our job. We fear being audited by the IRS. And if we were really honest, if we are really, really honest, we dread a boring, dry as dust sermon. Now, being in the preaching business that I am, I've heard quite a few boring, lifeless sermons in my day. And I'll be honest with you, sitting out there listening to especially students preach, sometimes all I can think is, when will this guy ever end? A drab sermon is something to be dreaded. And I should know, because not only have I heard a lot of drab sermons, but my friends, I've preached a lot of them too. And to my greater shame, I have subjected you to such dry and crusty pieces of the manna of heaven. Yet, it has happened. Yet there was one time in history, in biblical history, I guess in all of history, that God's people would have done anything they could have in order to hear a sermon that was dry as dust. And that time was when God directly spoke to the nation of Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments that we are studying. You know, it's interesting that in the New Testament we read where Christ ascends the mountain to deliver the Sermon on the Mount. But in the Old Testament, it's just the opposite. Christ descends upon the mountain to deliver His sermon. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament account of the Sermon on the Mount was anything but drab and lifeless and dry as dust. It is important to understand that there are only two instances in all of history where God directly and unveiled speaks or preaches to the entire church community. The first one was there in Genesis when he pronounces the curse. Adam and Eve are present. Now, there were only two of them, but at that time, that was the church roll right there, Adam and Eve. That's how many people were on the church roll. And he preached to both of them. The other time was on Mount Sinai, where God delivers to the church the Ten Commandments. Now, the rareness of this, the rareness of God unveiled, preaches to the church, is only limited to two times. So that tells us then that it's not God's usual way to speak to his people without a mediator. It is not God's way to speak directly to the church. Just follow redemptive history. God speaks to Noah, and then Noah speaks to his family. God speaks to Abraham, and then Abraham speaks to his family. God speaks to Jacob. Jacob then speaks to his family. You see, there was always a mediator, and that mediator was the one who received revelation from God and then took it back to the church, whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament. And after the giving of the Ten Commandments, God speaks to Israel through Moses, you see. And then he speaks to a prophet, and then that prophet speaks to Israel. He speaks to Jesus, and Jesus speaks to the world. Jesus, he is the image of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He speaks directly to us, but he does not speak directly to us as he is. He speaks directly to us as we are. We are flesh and blood. Therefore, God becomes flesh and blood in order to speak to us. And when he speaks, it is the Word of God. Now, why is this? Why does God not speak to us the way he spoke to the Israelites there at Mount Sinai? Or why does he not speak to us like he spoke to Adam and Eve? Well, it's not rocket science. It's easy to understand. God does not do that because he loves you. God does not speak to you unveiled as he is because he loves you. You couldn't take it. The Israelites said, "No more, Moses. Don't do this to us anymore. Instead, you go up there, you speak with God, and you come back and tell us." Now, Moses, a righteous man, but what does the letter to the Hebrews say? That Moses said he would, but he was scared to death to do so. Listen to the account of God coming to the people of Israel there on the mountain, but unveiled. He comes to them as he is. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Every one of the camp, they trembled. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder and louder. And God spoke all these words. And when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet sound and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. You remember when the World Trade Center collapsed? You remember seeing pictures of people running from the scene because they were so scared of what was happening behind them. Well, those who had a first-hand experience of hearing the voice of God, they were so overwhelmed with fear that they ran. They ran for their lives. They were scared of God. Even the angels, we're told there in Isaiah chapter 6, though they are sinless, yet in the presence of the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ, they have to cover their eyes because He is so glorious that they cannot even look upon Him. Once again, as we think about the World Trade Center, you remember how the smoke billowed, and as the cameras looked down the street, there was this wall of smoke coming closer and closer and closer, and that's all they could see was the smoke and the debris. This is all Israel could see, the smoke and the debris. The earth shook. There was thunder. There was lightning. There were earthquakes. Just think about the terror that went on in the people's lives there at the World Trade Center. But if they could have exchanged places with the people of Israel, they would not have. Because what they experienced at the World Trade Center was nothing compared to the unveiling of God as He is. As long as we are dealing with sin in our lives, we have a great stake in God not speaking to us as He is. For if He did, we're lost. We're doomed. As Isaiah says, I'm literally coming apart. But the reason God does not speak to you as He is, it's because He loves you. He loves you. He wants to have communion with you. He wants to enjoy you, and He wants us to enjoy Him. The chief end of man is what? You know it. The chief end of man is to glorify God and what?
Enjoy Him
forever. This is what God wants for you. He wants to enjoy you. But you can't enjoy Him if He reveals Himself truly for all that He is. Because you would be too fearful, too scared. So what does God do? God commissions overweight, bald-headed men to bring His word to God's people. He sends His messengers so that God can come close to you and that you can come close to Him and you can anticipate the Sabbath day where you will hear God's words and instruction for you. You remember going to summer camp and getting a note from, you know, a letter from your girlfriend back home? And you open it up, you know, real quick, and then you start to read it, and then you go, what does she mean by this? Is this something good or is this something bad? I hope that happened to you because it happened to me. And all the time it was something bad. But you say, what does she mean by this? Well, God directs His word to you. You sit down and you read it and you say, what does He mean by this? Is this good? Is this bad? What do I do with it? Well, God has already anticipated these questions. So God sends you pastors and teachers and evangelists, as Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, He sends these people to you. He educates them, He calls them out, and He sends them to the church so that you may not have to worry and have questions about, what does God say? Is this good or bad? He sends you someone to tell you, my friend, in all things, God works for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. If you're a parent, and I think we've all are parents here, notice babies cannot just eat solid food. No, they can't digest adult food. So what does mama and daddy do? They puree the food so the infant can chew it and digest it. That's what God does for you. By sending you preachers who are sinful of themselves and are weak and are ignorant, but He gives them that they may puree God's word to you. If He did not, you wouldn't be able to understand it. What we see then is that God pities us when He sends preachers to preach to you. He loves you. He pities you. When He sends preachers to you, it is like, I'm going to leave the training wheels on here so that you can ride this theological bicycle. Observe this well, my friend. Understand this. This is a biblical understanding about what I'm about to say. And it is this, that in the drab, ordinary, dry as dust, Sunday after Sunday preaching that comes from the mouth of sinful men, what you experience is the outpouring of God's love to you. How can they believe unless someone preaches to them? How can they understand unless someone explains it to them? When you hear the word of God preached, understand that just as Christ was at the top of the mountain preaching to Israel, when you hear the preached word, you need to understand that Christ is preaching to you through the mouth of a sinful man. And he does this because he wants to be with you. He wants to commune with you. He loves you and wants to be with you. Therefore, since God spoke all these words to Israel and is now speaking them to us, our duty is to listen and then obey. The words of Christ on the mountain are too important for us to ignore. Let us instead be like the psalmist. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It is better than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have taught us your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of the word, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in the lives of the church. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.